Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I am Jim Galante. He is Jeff Byers. Jeff, how are we doing this week, sir?
Not too shabby. Not too shabby at all.
Very good. You know, been chatting in the show this past week or so. There is no off season in college football, is there?
Boy, that is for sure. It is amazing the degree to which things have changed in that regard. But exciting stuff, and kind of good for those of us that are in the talk show business.
It is. It gives us something to talk about. And Jeff, the big news of the week: new defensive coordinator Jim Knowles makes his way from Ohio State to Penn State. And my God, there's about 100 different angles to take on this, Jeff. Take your pick. Where do you want to start?
Well, I think for me, I want to start with the significance of it, just if nothing else, from a symbolic standpoint. And I think this certainly goes well beyond symbolism, but I do think this is an important signal from Pat Kraft, the athletic department, and the football program, and I guess the university at large. Trustees signed off on this, that, hey, we are going all in. We are here to try to win a national championship. And I think, you know, this just kind of reaffirms that is a priority here. We've talked a lot, or I've talked a lot, Jim, over the last year or so about expectations at Penn State, and you know, Penn State pays a lot of money for its coaches, pays a lot of money for its facilities, but isn't paying what Ohio State is paying, isn't paying what Georgia. And again, I've said I'm okay with that. They're in the top 10 neighborhood. Some things they're, you know, right 8, 9, 10 at. Even recruiting classes, they're in that 10 to 15 range, generally speaking. And it's like you're getting more value for your money. But to expect that you're going to just win national titles when you're in that 10 to 12 range on most of the expenditures, I think is probably unrealistic. That you could make a run here or there potentially, but that, you know, it's unlikely that with that budget that you can play with the ultimate elite big boys, if you will, consistently. And I think this move signals, hey, we will do what we need to do to get over the hump and play with the big boys. You know, this is a big deal. Having the top paid coordinator in college football be at Penn State is something that I didn't think would happen. And I don't think very many people envisioned that scenario.
So Jeff, what did happen? What caused this change?
Yeah. You know, my guess is I think there's a couple of things going on, and I'll start with number one is Pat Kraft is going on. And I think Pat Kraft is here. I think he has the competitive mentality where, hey, we want to win national championships across the board. If we're going to put a sport out there, the reason we're participating in it is because we want to try to win a national title. So I think he has a real competitive edge to him. And I think, you know, James Franklin certainly wants to obviously get his program into that number one position at the end of the season. And I think it would be a significant accomplishment, obviously, for the university, for the program, but certainly for himself as well. And so, you know, I think those two are lined up that, hey, we are in this to win it. And so I think also the university is looking at this, and we can argue whether or not this is the right thing for society and all of that, but they're recognizing the importance of the football program for the university, the success of the program for the university, and beyond that, for the town. I mean, we've talked a lot over the years, Jim, about just how important Penn State football is to the economic engine in the State College, University Park, and surrounding areas. It is a crucial factor for all of those economies. So, you know, I think everybody's kind of in line here that
hey, we want to do what we can to win a national title, to bring this thing home. And I think seeing how close they were a year ago and seeing the pieces line up the way they were, this is kind of just a reaffirmation that, yes, we are putting all of our chips in the middle of the table. But again, it may not work out. There's no guarantee here. It's not that, okay, well, Penn State has decided they really want it, so there they go. They go win a national title. That's not quite how it works. Oregon is going all in as well. I think Michigan and Ohio State are not going anywhere in terms of the investment in the program and their commitment to success, to say nothing of the SEC schools and so on and so forth. But, yeah, I think Penn State, with what it has coming back, with this move, it just feels like they are in prime contention, at least. And again, we've talked about it. You need some luck. They need to avoid, you know, bad injuries at the wrong spots, you know, next year in order to bring this thing home. But I think they are doing everything they can, like truly doing everything they can to get this thing over the finish line and to bring home the national title.
You mentioned, you know, going all in, quote unquote, doesn't guarantee anything. But I think the reverse may be true. If you don't go all in, Jeff, yep, that kind of guarantees you're not going to win a national championship.
I agree. And it's one of those things, you know, I talk about mentality all the time and confidence, Jim. It's one of those things. You're not going to go win a game if you don't think you're going to win it. The fact that you think you're going to win it doesn't guarantee that you'll win it. But if you don't think you're going to win it, it does guarantee that you're not going to win it. If you go in saying, nah, I think this team that we're playing is better, I really doubt we could find a way to win it. Very, very difficult anyway to come out on top in that situation. So I at least think the approach here is the right one. The Penn State, again, is doing everything it can to get this thing to the ultimate goal.
Also, Jeff, and I got to be careful how I explain this, because I want the team to win a national championship. I really do. However, with that said, even putting themselves in a position has a lot of good things that come with it. This past year, is it a case where Ohio State was the only successful team because they won a national championship? Or can we look at this Penn State season, see how many wins they had, see how far they advanced, see that they won a home playoff game, then won a second playoff game? Yeah, I wish they could have played one more week and won that game, but I also look at it as a fan. The fan experience, Jeff, was pretty good this past year, and I feel like they put themselves in a position to at least give the fan base that kind of excitement, even if it might come up short of a national championship.
I agree, and I also think I would add on to that, Jim, that I think what by doing what they did this past season, and I think clearly taking that next step on the ladder, it set the stage for everybody being, I think, more comfortable with the all-in approach. That, okay, man, we see we are that close to bringing this thing home, and you see that James Franklin is that close to getting this thing over the finish line. So I think, I'm not saying there's no chance that if they had, you know, not made the playoffs or had a first round loss to SMU, that there was no chance they'd get Jim Knowles in and all of these players returning. But I don't think there's any question that getting to the semifinal game, having a very competitive game there with Notre Dame, a game that you kind of feel from the Penn State side, man, should have won that one, should have been able to get it done there, that now it's like, okay, yeah, we are maybe a piece or two away from really being the team here in college football. And so I think, you know, if there were people that had some reservations, I'm not sure really we should be committing to this. I think now it's like, yeah, this is the opportunity. I try to cash in here while you have the chance, because you don't know. Again, Penn State maybe will have a bunch more chances, and certainly Penn State hopes that's the case. But this may be kind of that one shot. And either way, you don't want to be looking back down the road saying, oh, man, if only we had done this, if only we had been able to come up with the resources to get that coach, boy, we could have really been a contender. You want to say, again, even if you come up short, yep, we did everything we could, though. That's all we could do.
I'll probably even go a step further than you. I do believe those things don't happen in a vacuum. I think one leads to the other. It's inertia. Success breeds more success, Jeff.
Yeah, I think that's that. You're probably right about that. I do think, again, the closer you get to attaining something, the more you can taste it, the more you see what it takes to get there. And I think, again, across the board, you know, at least the athletic department and really, I would say the university now seem aligned in, hey, we're gonna do this to bring home a national title and to be, you know, to truly be one of the elite contenders on a regular basis here in college football. And by the way, I think Pat Kraft has that commitment to all of the sports. And again, we'll see how things settle out in terms of what sports remain varsity sports, not just at Penn State, but across the board. But I think wherever Penn State continues to put out a varsity program, Pat Kraft's commitment is going to be to, hey, let's try to do everything we can within the rules and within ethics and all of that to get a national championship in that program.
Well, also, let's not sugarcoat this. We know football is what drives things. You talk about the economics of the state college area. Guess what? It's football that drives it. And what I do think also, Jeff, they get to the semifinals. If they're not on the doorstep, does the university approve a $3 million coordinator? Does that coordinator choose Penn State, say, over Oklahoma if it didn't look like Penn State was closer to getting there? Do all those players, you know, Drew Al or Nick Singleton, deny Dennis Sutton, do they say, yeah, I'm coming back if they didn't think they were this close?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question, and I think probably you're right, but probably not so much.
Not probably. I am right, Jeff. Just concede. Jim is right. All right. That is it for quarter number one. Lots more to talk about. Stick with us.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number two. He's Jeff Byers. I'm Jim Galante. We are talking about Penn State and Penn State football going forward. Jeff, I think there's a lot of expectations. Everything seems to just be falling into place. And it's interesting, the perception of the team, first of all. You're seeing everybody is coming out with their way too early forecast for next season. And it's not just one place. There are multiple places that has Penn State number one team in the country. Those that don't have them number one have them top two, three, four, has them right up there with all the big boys.
Yeah, and listen, I think this is great. I think it's fun. I also think there's a different type of pressure now that comes with this, and I think it's one you need to embrace if you're Penn State. I mean, this is kind of what you've been working toward. But I do think this is where having the key players that they have coming back and what I think now is two unquestionably elite coordinators in place comes into play in terms of, hey, put aside the outside noise here. Like, you need to dial in. Yeah, we do have a tremendous opportunity here, but let's make sure we take advantage of it by busting our tails every day in practice, by taking care of the little things and making sure we're paying attention to the details throughout the offseason and in each week of preparation. And again, I think that's where having the number of players return that just went through the experience they did, and there was a lot of great in that experience this past year, and I think they can build on that. But also, I think, you know, the losses in particular to Ohio State and Notre Dame and Oregon as well. But I mean, I think those two losses with Ohio State and Notre Dame kind of reinforce the importance of taking care of every little thing you can along the way. And again, it's all about giving yourself the best chance here to go ahead and close the deal here.
I think you called it a different kind of pressure, and you have to embrace it. And I think that starts with two guys, James Franklin, Drew Aller. And I keep mentioning it. I plan on doing this. I plan on grabbing all the big games over the last two seasons and going to look at the statistics from Drew Aller in those handful of games. And we all know what those big games are: when they play Michigan, when they play Ohio State, when they play Oregon, when they play Notre Dame, and even the playoff games. And I suspect the numbers aren't going to be pretty, Jeff, for those games. And, of course, it's not just locally, but nationally, you know, the big game James narrative is still out there. So when you look at the pressure, I feel like those two guys are attached at the hip. It's going to be that narrative for both of them until it changes.
Yeah, and I think, listen, easier said than done, and obviously don't have the skill set or the ability to ever be in their position, but I think they need to embrace it, right? Like, I'm going to have a chip on my shoulder. I'm going to come in. If I'm Drew Aller, I'm going to prove to you that I will play well in the big games. I am going to be the reason, not only that we don't lose, but I'm going to be the reason we win. My decision-making and my abilities are what's going to get us over the top. I think for James Franklin, it's like, yep, I'm going to be the guy that wins the big games this year. Why? Because I have the right coordinators in place. I have a veteran team that knows the expectations, that understands how to handle all of the things. I'll trust them, all of it. But I think, you know, if you use it right, and I think they will, man, it's all motivation. It's, yep, everything I do, it's a little extra here at the end of practice. It's a little extra in looking at the game film. It's a little extra in the motivation we're giving the teammates because, yeah, we nothing better in sports or in life, right, than to vindicate yourself and to show the doubters that they were wrong, that, man, I was good enough to do whatever it is in this case to go win a national title. And I certainly think, you know, Penn State is capable of it. Again, I also, you know, I don't think this is a given, and I do, you know, I hope fans understand, like, I love the all-in approach. I think they have a real shot here. I do. Nationally, obviously, there's a lot of people thinking Penn State has a real shot. But again, Oregon isn't going anywhere. Their resources aren't going anywhere. And there's another, you know, 5 to 8 schools that are also going all in here to try to win a national title next year. But it's fun for Penn State to be truly and legitimately in the mix. And again, I hope they, and I suspect they are, but I hope they're treating it the right way. Like, yeah, man, we welcome this. We want the opportunity to prove, much like Ohio State did this past season. And I think the other thing with Ohio State this past year that kind of shows is, you know, let's not get caught up in a particular moment, good or bad. You get a big win over Oregon there to start the Big Ten season next year. Great. And you've accomplished nothing in terms of what the ultimate goal is. If you lose that game, yeah, that's a bummer, man. That sets us back a bit. But That's not our objective. Our objective wasn't to start the season with a win over Oregon. It's to end the season with a national championship. So I think also having the right perspective throughout the season is going to be critical here for this team.
You kind of beat me to the punch there, Jeff. My next question was going to be about how you approach a season. And I was looking ahead at Penn State's schedule, and obviously the two big games are home with Oregon and away at Ohio State. And Penn State seems to have established they'll win the games they're supposed to. Those are the two games that you might look at and say, okay, those are the tough ones. Those are the big games. But Penn State could be 10-2 and be right where they want to be, which is a playoff team. You saw that with Ohio State this past year. What, you know, setting Penn State aside, probably Ohio State's, if you ask an Ohio State fan going into last year, their two biggest games were Oregon and Michigan, and they lost them both.
Yep. Yeah. And so that is going to be one of the, to me, fascinating storylines for Penn State, and in particular Penn State fans in the upcoming season, because you can already hear it, Jim, right? The folks that are the James Franklin will never win the big one. This team can go 12-0, and they're going to be sitting there with arms folded saying, okay, so what? I want to see you go ahead and close this thing out. And if they do what Oregon did, they go in as the number one seed into the playoffs and they lose in that quarterfinal round, you will have done nothing to appease the critics, right? Now, again, depending on the game and how it plays out and everything, we can argue either way as to, yeah, that was still a really good season or whatever. But when you're pushing all the chips into the middle of the table here and it's about winning a national title, yeah, that's going to be bitterly disappointing. But the opposite is true here. Again, that Oregon game I'm just pointing to early because it is going to be a huge national matchup. Again, if Penn State loses it, there's going to be the critics right away. Well, they're the same old Penn State. But Penn State will have a chance to change the narrative at the end of the year. The narrative is going to be there regardless. If Penn State goes 12-0, the 11-1, 10-2. Now, if they go 9-3 or worse, it's going to be a different narrative, and probably rightfully so, because I don't know how you would dress that up as anything but bitterly disappointing. But if, you know, 10-2 or better, regardless of what that record is, isn't really going to matter at the end of the day. It's going to be, all right, what does this team do in the postseason? And I think, you know, they want to win the national title. Even getting to the title game and losing a close one, I think this year will be especially disappointing for the program.
Well, it's interesting. I think Ohio State has established that you could lose two games and win a national championship. And I think Ohio State, for them going into this season, they probably look at it, or their fans should be more forgiving if they lose a game or two. Hey, that's what happened last year in the national championship year. I think even Oregon, after going undefeated and losing in their first game in the playoffs, I think their fans may even be, well, we tried that undefeated thing last year and it didn't work out for us. However, I think for Penn State, and just with that mindset, yes, the fan base, but also the coaches, the players, I think that puts more importance on that early game against Oregon. I think there's more pressure on them to establish, hey, this year is different than prior years.
Yeah, and listen, I think the fact that it's a home game is a big difference there too, to me at least, in terms of how you interpret that and the significance of it. Again, could they lose that game and still have next year's season be a dream season? Yep, absolutely. But I'm with you. That it is a really important game, I just think, for even internally, for that confidence level that, hey, yep, this is a different team, a different year, and we are in this thing to win a national title. again, you can lose that game. You can lose to Ohio State, both, and still go on and accomplish all of your dreams. It just, it feels like that one in particular, that Oregon game, is one you need because of where it comes on the schedule and because of all of the, I guess, feelings around both programs, by the way, going into that one. I think clearly the pressure in that one is on Penn State.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I think individually for James Franklin, for Drew Aller, I think Drew Aller in that game, even with a loss, he has to play well, Jeff, just for his own confidence, his own mindset.
For sure. No, I think, again, all of this is with the idea of, hey, this is a new year, a new opportunity, and man, we have the edge this year. We're going to show you that we have the edge, and that's obviously the first opportunity to really do it. And I just, you want to capitalize on that. You want to be able to start to definitively show that, yes, we have grown, we have learned from the past experiences, and again, this year will be different. Could it be different if you lose it and you have a bad game? Yes, more unlikely, more difficult by a mile if you don't get it done there.
All right, that is it for quarter number two. Lots more to go. Stick with us.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Halt Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. He's Jeff, I'm Jim. We're already talking the 2025 football season with Penn State. And Jeff, we were talking about some of the expectations. You bring in the highest paid coordinator in the country now in Jim Knowles. Let's talk about the team itself and these expectation levels. Is it fair for this team? Do they take yourself away from the blue and white, go further up, take a look down at the teams across the country? Does Penn State belong at that level? You know, one of the top couple teams in the country based on the team that they're going to put out on the field.
They do. And I think they're where they should be in terms of, you know, anywhere from one to five. And I think, you know, there are some folks putting them at one. And I don't think that's unreasonable with the talent they have coming back, with the coaching hire that they just made, and all of it. I will say, though, when you look at the odds to win the national title, right, Penn State is fourth or fifth, at least on the ones I've seen. And guess who two of the teams above them are on every one that I've seen? Ohio State and Oregon. So you're still, even with all of these expectations nationally, you're still being rated as the third best team in the Big Ten, meaning on paper, they're not expecting you to get to the Big Ten title game. Now, is that the worst thing in the world? Ohio State finished fourth in the Big Ten this past season, behind not just Penn State and Oregon, but Indiana as well, and it worked out okay for them. But again, yes, I think they are rightfully being mentioned as one of the legitimate national title contenders. When I say nothing's guaranteed, though, that's what I mean. I mean, I'm just pointing out that two of the other top five big dogs that people are perceiving as big dogs anyway next season happen to be in your conference as well.
I think some of that perception, and you see it in the betting market, Jeff, is the tradition. You'll see Alabama and Georgia and Ohio State, by the way, being given the benefit of the doubt. Why? Because they're Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State, Jeff.
Yeah, and they've earned it, right? I mean, they've yes. done it consistently, and you believe that they're going to be able to reload. Now, Ohio State, like I think Oregon is going to be right there as well, regardless of what happens at Beaver Stadium early next season. I think Penn State and Oregon at the end of the year are going to be two of the teams that have a real shot here to win the whole thing. I'm not expecting Ohio State to drop off the face of the earth here, but I do think they're going to take a step back. I don't think it's going to be a huge step. Again, I certainly expect there'll be a playoff team again next season, but you know, it feels like we're getting some information with Knowles' decision to come to Penn State. As we're recording this, there's, you know, rumblings anyway that Chip Kelly may be ready to move on as well. You know, they're losing a lot of talent now. Again, they reload. I get it. I do think they're going to be, while a very good football team next year, maybe comparable to what Georgia was this past season. Really good. Nobody's denying that they are a team that's capable of beating anybody on a given day. But I get the feeling Ohio State is going to be kind of in that next tier just for next season. And again, I could be wrong. We'll see how it plays out. But to me, I think Oregon and Penn State – and then Michigan, I'm keeping an eye on. Obviously, with their quarterback now, that feels like a program that could be ready to step back into the mix here in terms of a legitimate national title contender next season as well.
And I think Michigan has that advantage of coming off those wins against back-to-back Ohio State and then Alabama in the bowl game. They're probably feeling pretty good about themselves. Now, you also mentioned the quarterback thing, and I want to hit that a little bit because I'm using ESPN's rankings just because they were convenient to me, Jeff.
Sure.
And I found it fascinating. Their top four teams, they actually had Ohio State number one, Texas number two. Texas seems to be a consensus, one of the top couple.
Yep.
Penn State third, Notre Dame fourth. Interesting. That was the 2024 season Final Four that they have as the top four teams. And then number four is Notre Dame. Number five and six were Georgia and Oregon, the conference champions last year from the Southeast Conference and the Big Ten. So I think, and it's almost like the easiest thing in the world, take last year, take reputation over the last few years, and project them as your top teams.
Yeah, and it's not a bad way to do it pretty consistently. That, you know, it translates pretty well. You might have some surprises here and there, and Indiana this past season certainly would qualify as a big surprise. And, you know, you may have a program that you're expecting, like Alabama this past season, that, you know, probably going to be a playoff team that doesn't make it. But generally speaking, yeah, we have a pretty good idea who the teams that are likely to be at least in playoff contention next year will be. And certainly those are good programs to start with. And listen, again, Ohio State is going to be, I think, very good this upcoming season. I do wonder whether or not they're going to be quite right where they were here this past season. It feels like Penn State and Oregon have a real chance here to take that next step up in terms of postseason run from the conference. But again, we'll see how it all plays out. But all of the programs that you mentioned, I mean, they're all set up for sustained success. The nice part is Penn State is now one of those programs.
What I find interesting, Jeff, in naming those six teams, again, Ohio State, Texas, Penn State, Notre Dame, Georgia, and Oregon, they were the Final Four and the two biggest conference champions. And in 24, the interesting thing was each one of them had a veteran quarterback running them. You know, Ohio State brought in Will Howard. Texas had Quinn Ewers. Penn State had the second-year starter in Drew Aller. Notre Dame brought Riley Leonard in. Georgia had Carson Beck, a veteran, who, by the way, was not there when they actually did lose. Oregon brought in Dillon Gabriel, veteran quarterback. The interesting thing is, out of those six teams, five of the six will need to bring in a new quarterback, and it appears most of them, they're not going to the portal for a Will Howard or Riley Leonard. most of them seem to be going with a younger quarterback coming in who will be a first-year starter. All those teams, except for one, who will have a third-year starter, Jeff. How important is that?
I think it's a big deal. And I used to think more so the importance of the of having somebody within the program. I think we've seen now enough of a sample size that it's more about having the experience and the understanding than necessarily whether you are in the same program or system for the course of your career. Witness Will Howard, you know, at Ohio State. But I do think having the experience under your belt is a big benefit. Now, does it preclude the, you know, a Trevor Lawrence coming in as a freshman these days and doing something spectacular? No, but what is unquestionable is you need good quarterback play, at the very least good quarterback play. And certainly if you can get great quarterback play, it greatly enhances your ability to contend here for a national championship. So, yeah, I don't think that's an insignificant part of the overall picture here.
And, Jeff, and by the way, because we didn't mention him, for those of you who don't know who I'm referring to, it's Drew Aller, okay, at Penn State. He's Penn State's the one program that does have a veteran quarterback, veteran starting quarterback returning. Although Texas probably feels pretty good about Arch Manning, Jeff.
I think they feel okay about where they're at going into the season anyway.
True. They probably do. What's interesting, and again, going through the rest of the top 10 in this ESPN list, though, was Clemson, LSU, BYU, and South Carolina. I think, though, all four of those teams, if I'm correct, are returning a quarterback. So I think that is part of why you could be high on those teams.
Yeah, for sure. And listen, again, are there going to be surprises somewhere along the way next season? Yes, but I think if you're the likelihood of at least five of those six teams that we've been talking about being in the mix next year, I'd feel very, very confident about that right now, not even knowing how anything else in the offseason is going to play out. And by the way, even with injuries, I mean, I mentioned, I think the injury part of it is an important part of the equation. But listen, we saw Notre Dame, Penn State, you know, these teams sustained some significant injuries. Georgia, even in terms of being in the playoffs, sustained about as significant of an injury as you can sustain, and they're still right there in the mix. So the injuries are important, but again, those programs also now have built the depth where it's like, yeah, we could lose a key starter or a couple of key starters and still feel like we're going to be right in the mix and in good shape. And, you know, for Penn State, Jim, certainly Drew Aller returning is a big part of the equation. But I'll tell you, having that offensive line and that running back core returning is a pretty nice safety blanket for that offense to have going into next season.
Again, you're reading my notes, Jeff. That's where I was headed next. And I think when you're talking about a championship caliber team, a lot of it does start up front with that offensive line, because it's so much a part of, obviously, the running game and the passing game, giving your quarterback some time. But if you're returning with this Penn State offensive line, they were playing their absolute best at the end of the year. And not only are they returning four out of five starters, they're also returning the next two men up as far as backups, and maybe even three or four. So it's almost like seven out of the eight of a group that's been performing well are coming back.
Yeah, and listen, I think when you look at the way that group responded as this season went along and progressed, I guess would be the better way to put it. And listen, they've been building some depth even beyond the depth that we're talking about here. Like that group feels really, really good to me about where they're at and why Penn State has such a good chance. For years, Jim, when it was Alabama and Georgia It was the line play. That was the difference.
All right, that's it for quarter number three. We're going to pick it up right there when we come back.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m. and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Hulk Daddy Hazy IPA, award-winning beer by Greater Good Brewing, built by Penn Staters for PA. Look for the green can at your local retailer.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number four. He's Jeff, I'm Jim. Jeff, we finished up quarter three. We were talking about after the quarterbacks, we got to the offensive line, where Penn State has to feel really good about where they're at. And no disrespect to Sal Warmly, the one guy who is graduating, and you love to have that veteran there, the guy who's been around. But isn't it nice that you plug that hole with a Cooper Cousins type player?
How about it? Yes, it is. And again, I think, across the board, a lot of experience. And then with Cooper Cousins, just certainly some experience this past year, but just a tremendous talent and somebody that I think is destined for a lot of playing on Sundays down the road. So, yes, being able when that is the quote unquote hole that you need to plug, and that's how you plug it, pretty good position that they're in with that offensive line. And again, Jim, since that 94 team, I don't know that Penn State has had a reason to feel as good about this offensive line as it does going into the upcoming season. Hard to imagine this group won't be at least one of the best offensive lines, not just in the Big Ten, but in the country.
And remember, it wasn't too long ago we talked about the offensive line the same way we currently talk about the wide receiver position. So that wasn't that long ago. Now, you mentioned also, those Alabama teams, Georgia teams that were so good up front with their offensive line and defensive lines, too. It leads me, though, Jeff, to ask about, I think as good as Ohio State was this past season, and I believe a lot of us talked about them being the most talented team going into the season. We talked about, if they could just overcome that, the mercenaries, the new guys coming in mixed with the old guys. My question mark was on the quarterback, was Will Howard ready? Well, he showed he was ready. But you had Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, then the rest, okay? I don't think that's what we had in 2024. I know Ohio State was the best team, through the playoffs. They looked like that kind of team. But again, that was a two-loss team. Yep. And over the previous 10 years, there was not a two-loss team that even made the four-team playoff, okay? In a previous year, this Ohio State team doesn't even make it to the playoffs. So where I'm headed with this is, in 2024, we didn't have any of those elite teams. Is this an indicator of things to come, or was this the anomaly? Was 2024 the strange season?
Yeah, listen, I think when you look at college football overall right now, Jim, and I just think there are a few more halves than what we had in the past. It's why I like the 12-team format. It's why I think we need to go to the 16-team format, is to give – it would have been fun, and again, we can talk about it and we'll never know. I do think having those teams, at least down to 12 – you're getting the teams that are true national title contenders. And I've always thought that there's more than the four, and even in the years where everybody, it's clearly just Alabama and Georgia, or just Alabama and Clemson. Maybe, but maybe if you had given some other teams the opportunity, they catch fire. They get a big game and a big moment against one of those teams. I just think for the overall growth of the sport, it's important to expand the playoffs, to include those other teams. And it's interesting because it's hard to know for sure whether or not we actually have more teams that are able to win the national title, meaning like they're just constructed to truly contend, or if just the fact that we have more playoff teams in now, all of these years that we thought, hey, it's just Alabama and Clemson. Well, was it? Would we have seen something different play out? And again, we'll never know for sure. I like the idea that at least now we know kind of in the postseason, that's where the great championship teams play their best at the end of the year. That's why the NFL playoffs, the NHL playoffs, every sport, that's why we have it set up. Playoffs at the end of the year, that's where you prove your medal. Regular season is important. You set yourself up for postseason success by what you do there. But giving more teams the opportunity, I think we're going to see that there were more teams, certainly are more teams, deserving of at least getting the shot at winning this thing.
I'm going to disagree a little bit, Jeff, in that I do think in those years, those Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State teams, I do feel like they were so superior. Could there be an upset if there were a 12-team playoff? Sure. That could always happen. I mean, there were years when Purdue beat Ohio State, you know. Crazy things can happen. But overall, I just felt those teams were so much better. This year, when I looked at it, and I know we had the crazy seeding where, you know, Boise State and Arizona State got seeded third and fourth, but you had teams in the, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 range. In fact, those were the final four, right? And, you know, Ohio State with their two losses, Penn State with their two losses, counting the loss to Oregon, Notre Dame. I don't think we had that quality of team, that quality depth where you could go 5, 6, 7, 8 deep like you did this year. And I'm just wondering if that – I think it was a fantastic season to expand to the 12-team playoff because there were so many other good teams. And I'm just wondering, and I'm hoping, Jeff, that that's the way it stays going forward. I don't like when there's only two or three teams that are better than everybody else. And NIL, transfer portal, or the situation like we saw with Penn State this year where – hey, these guys could come back who could be going to the NFL, and they decide to stick around for another year to play it back. And all of a sudden, you know, I look at that list of the top six teams I mentioned to you going into the season, you throw them in a hat and pull the names out, Jeff. And I think that's at least six teams.
Yeah, I think I probably agree with you there in terms of there's a couple of things that I think are in play. And again, the NIL stuff is certainly changing the equation, as is the transfer portal in terms of the number of teams. And listen, in some ways, I think it's limiting the number of teams that can make that move up from, you know, average, I guess, to being in real contention here to have those, that one great year, but probably more teams now can over a five-year span, let's say, make a run from among, you know, maybe 10 to 15 teams here that can do that. And, you know, we saw, listen, I don't want to discount what Indiana did this past season, because I think that kind of gives hope out there to the also-rans, if you will, that, hey, man, maybe we get the right coach, get the right quarterback, we can create a little magic. If not win a national title, again, being in the playoffs, pretty big deal for a program like Indiana. It would be a big deal for a program like Duke, or again, any number of programs. But I think, you know, that is what you want from as a fan of college football. You want to see some different teams in the mix for national titles and some different teams in the mix for playoffs. And certainly by expanding to the 12 and hopefully in the near future, the 16-team field, you're having that opportunity on both fronts. And again, I don't think every program, you know, Duke may be dreaming about winning a national title in football. Indiana may be dreaming about winning a national title in football. But getting to the playoffs, that's a pretty huge deal for those programs. You know, kind of think of Penn State basketball getting to the Sweet 16. Like that is a hugely successful season for those programs. And then again, getting the Penn States and the Notre Dames and some different schools in the mix here where you feel like they really have a shot at winning the national title. To me, that is good for college football.
And you do have that next level of teams that SMU, Indiana, Arizona State, they all made the playoffs, and you actually had Illinois knocking on the door. So I think you're right, Jeff, that maybe a national championship isn't in the cards for those teams. And again, only one team could get that national championship, but just to get into the playoffs give yourself a shot. I think Arizona State got more exposure this past year.
About
SMU's another one. Boy, they've got the money behind them. That I'm saying that's a team you got to watch out for. They could be a perennial playoff team.
For sure. And again, I think you want more teams, right, at least in the mix here, where you feel like, all right, yep, they could put some things together here in a given season. And again, we'll see how all of this shakes out over a 5 or 10-year period. I don't know that we have a complete handle on it, but the idea that you can get some different teams in there. Now, again, Ohio State and Georgia, I don't think they're going anywhere anytime soon, but like in Alabama is going to be an intriguing storyline this upcoming season. Michigan's going to be intriguing. USC. I mean, there's a bunch of programs where it's, you know, Oklahoma, can it rebound? So even the programs that you're like, we know they're going to be there every year. Clemson, you know, we thought that for a while there, and now all of a sudden it's like, I'm not sure exactly where they're going to fit in the big picture here in the coming years. So I think there's, you know, enough different teams now that are in the hopper that you have storylines of, hey, is this team going to take a step back? Is this team going to be able to take another step up and be a real contender here? I think those are fun storylines for football fans to be able to follow.
And how about, forget about bringing in a defensive coordinator. How about bringing in a Bill Belichick as your head coach? Is that the kind of thing that we could expect more teams to do, thinking, you know what? That's the kind of move we need to make, create some momentum, create some buzz. We'll see about that. It's going to be interesting to see North Carolina this year. All right, Jeff, that is it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Every day is a great day to join us at Cafe 210 West to enjoy our daily drink specials. Mondays, it's the Cafe Tea Pitcher for $5. Tuesday, Smirnoff Pitchers for $7. Wednesday, Bacardi Pitchers are $7. And Thursdays, Enjoy Cafe Tea Pitchers for $5. All week, we have half-off draft beer and cafe tea from 9 to 11 p.m., and 6 to 8 p.m. on Fridays. So get the gang together and come on down to Cafe 210.